All right, guys, happy Monday. Welcome back to Hung Up Cleats. We have another interview today. We're super excited.
Korshel, welcome to Hung Up Cleats.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
This is my friend Korshel. So we know each other because our boyfriends are teammates. She's dating Nick on NSC, and we met originally at one of the games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the first time.
It's like in the lounge room.
Yeah. I think it was in the family room, maybe. Yeah. I was eyeing Luca, and I was like, that little boy is so cute. And you like walked over to him, picked him up, and I was like, okay, this makes sense. Yes. I was like, where'd he come from? I was like, is he a cousin? Like, what's going on
what's
here?
What's the story? What's the sitch? Yes.
So obviously Hung Up Cleats is a sports-based podcast, and I know you played club soccer for 13 years of your life. So walk me through your early soccer career.
I played for a long time. I probably started when I was like 7. I played indoor soccer, and then I transferred to, it wasn't club. It was like the community, like AYSO kind of sports for a little bit. And then when I got into like middle school, high school, then I started playing more serious. And my parents were so frugal at the time. And we actually,
soccer's expensive.
We could not afford me going to club with all my siblings. And so I trained really hard, which is so funny. And I, in high school, I wanted to prove a point that I could make the girls team without being a club player. And so I ended up making the team and quitting the same day and got recruited to play for the boys team. As a starter.
No. That's amazing.
So, I literally told my mom, I was like, I'm literally trying out to prove a point because it, you know how like competitive it is.
Yeah, and especially it's so political with a as
very,
well.
Yes. And the high school I was going to, it was just so oversaturated that I was like, I'm just going to prove a point. Like,
I just wait, so to. You can play for the boys team in high school?
So I transferred to a college prep like academy. Okay. And so it was a private, and the boys team, we had a girls team, but the boys team, I mean, the coach was in the right place, right time, saw me and was like, actually, we want her. So
that's
iconic.
I love it.
I just ended up playing for them, and we went to nationals, and I ended up breaking my wrist kind of like one of our last games. And that's when it kind of like started to like shift for me. I was like, maybe I don't want to do sports forever. I got accepted to like Chapman University and Azusa and a couple other, was SCAD. Cause I'm like heavily a creative person. So I wanted to really dabble into like, majoring in like design and creativity stuff. And then I wanted to play sports. So there I got accepted to a bunch of cool schools, and then I was like, well, maybe I don't need to continue the sports route.
You're from Southern California originally?
Yeah, grew up in Palm Desert, Palm Springs.
Okay.
I was born in Portland, Oregon, but we didn't hang out there for long.
Yeah. California's much better.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely a Cali girl, too.
Like, yes, you are.
I am not a Portland girl.
Yeah. So. Well, with that, how did you get to Nashville?
So, basically, from growing up in Palm Desert, I ended up, instead of continuing my soccer career stuff, not even a career, the goal of having it a career, I decided to have a backup plan, and I got a full ride scholarship to beauty school in high school. So I graduated with my license. I went straight into working for a high-end salon in Palm Desert, and then I just decided, to get out of the desert. I went to San Diego for 1 year with my girlfriends. We got a beach house cottage, and we ended up like living near Point Loma area and just having a blast. And it just kind of like helped me like branch out and spread my wings and stuff. And then from there, that's when I had met my ex-husband there, or in that time, and we moved to LA after after we got married. We were there for, I was there for 12 years. So that kind of like fizzled out then. And then I had Luca, and I decided I didn't want to raise him in LA And so I moved into Nashville to be close to some family that ended up out here. So
that's awesome.
That's how I'm here.
It's a good choice. He's gonna love it. When he can appreciate it.
Yeah, he'll see. So yeah.
So how old were you when you met your ex-husband?
I was in my early 20s. I got married at 22.
Oh wow, so that's really young.
Yeah, I was a baby. Super baby. But it's kind of a trendy thing at the time. Like a ton of our friends had already been married. And wow. We were kind of like the last of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know too if it's like just like my faith and like how we were raised and stuff. Yeah. And Christian culture, they kind of like push you to get married young. Yeah. And like wait till marriage and all that stuff. And so we were on that bandwagon. And
yeah, I feel like nowadays it's so the opposite. Like I have so many friends that are like 30 that are not like in a relationship or anything. So
yeah,
it's so different.
It's definitely slowed down.
I feel like it's hit or miss for me. I feel like they're getting married fresh out of high school.
Yeah.
Or
fresh out of high school?
No, it's crazy. Yeah.
Like 18?
Oh yeah. Super fast.
So many people from high school are married right now. And I'm like,
or it's like the college
I don't have many of those that are married out of high school. I like cannot imagine.
Actually, I know. Yeah. I know now that I'm on the other side. I'm like, wow, you change so much in your 20s.
Yeah. You change
like,
so much, yeah.
Constant. And it's like constant work. And you're just kind of two people sharpening each other the whole time.
It makes it harder, I feel like. You're like literally probably growing up together while you're married as well.
Yeah. All the stepping stones, building a future, careers, like... It's wild, but
yeah.
So, how long were you guys dating before y'all got
married? Gosh, it was roughly over a year, so it was fairly fast. But we had a lot of mutual friends, and so it just made it feel like we really knew each other. We were pretty inseparable then. We just kind of, and it was also like I said, that like Christian culture of like, oh, we're not gonna move in together until we're married, we're not gonna have sex until we're married, you know, all those things, and you're just like, okay, let's speed this up,
yeah, let's get married.
Know that obviously is not a healthy
a lot of
people do it. Everyone has their own thing, so but yeah, we did that. It was expedited for sure. But
you guys were married for 8 years.
Yes, 8 years.
So that's crazy. Your marriage took a turn, abrupt turn, kind of out of nowhere in that 8 years. What was that like for you? When did you kind of start seeing changes?
Now that I'm on the other side, I actually see some pretty early like glimpses of just kind of like things I should have just paid attention to. But just to start off, my ex-husband was diagnosed with psychosis and schizophrenia, and it was genetically tested, but he also was using drugs as well, and I didn't know. So it helped aid to that as well. So now that I know, or once I did find out, and I can like reflect on it now, I really see like probably like our fifth year in, there are some underlying like things that just kind of started to pick up. I didn't know how to identify them. And
you're in love with this person. Well, this is your husband. This is the love of your life. You probably don't even, you're like, oh, we're young, we're changing, you know?
There's that. And then there's also the naivety of like, you just like when you're with someone that you want to be with for the rest of your life, you just don't assume the worst in them. You don't hunt for the worst. You don't even entertain, like, if there's a sex issue, a pornography issue, you don't entertain those thoughts because you have like a mutual understanding with this person. And it's just something that I was oblivious to for a long time. And sometimes I feel dumb, like, how did I not recognize those, like, those first few kind of years of it's coming on to him? But I knew something was off, and I took very much an athlete mentality in just, like, I mean, perseverance, endurance, I said my vows for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and health. And going to the end of it with its full meaning, I think a lot of people just kind of like just they just chicken out, or like, you know, they just throw in the towel so soon. And it's like, that's not what marriage was built for. And I think it's similar to like even being on a team. Is like, you have shitty days, you have really, really good days, and then you have those like mediocre, like we're just plateauing kind of days, you know? And so you just kind of work through them and try to be a team player. But I definitely started noticing things around like the fifth year. And I wish I would have caught it sooner, and we would have got him more help too, because things really started to turn after that. But
you did everything you could in that situation. Yeah. What you knew to do at that point in time.
Yes and no. There was a lot of codependency still. Yeah. I think it was just overall like a shock for me. And it was something that I'm like, holy shit, like I really have to like just accept that this person that I signed up for is never going to be the same person again. And that if he were in his right mind, I think he ultimately did love me, or loved the idea of me. But yeah, it just was one of those like, holy smokes, like you just got to let it go. You got to like, it's a death essentially. And you got to put your foot forward. And one thing that I told myself, well, I also learned in this process, was that like I know this is like so like basic, but every person is responsible for their actions in their life. And if someone comes in to sabotage it, you're still responsible for your life. Yeah. And you still have, you know, endless opportunity. And so I think a lot of people go through stages of grief and pain and even failure, like when you get injured and you have to give up sports or whatever. Like, it's just, you kind of hit rock bottom. And for me, I was like, I don't want to hit the full bottom. I'm mm-hmm. just going to keep going, and I'm going to try to just grieve and like process as I go. But I have so much purpose and meaning in this world. And I say that confidently because I experienced 9 psychotic breaks with him, and they were...
9 is a lot.
9 is a lot. And it wasn't just like, I mean, these were like full on, like I was trapped in a car and he's thinking, you know, certain things. And there's, I don't want to get too like graphic about it, but just, it was just crazy. And I was stuck, and I didn't know what to do, because it's like with psychosis and schizophrenia, you could have a normal human for like 10 hours and then it breaks. And yeah. Then you're just like, holy smokes. Like, you're like dancing with the devil. And
yeah, that's so scary.
And it's really terrifying. And so the last episode was really graphic, and that's how I have Luca, my son. And we, from that scenario to he put me in a car, and I was trapped in the car. He took my keys, my phone, everything. And we hit a car at 120 miles per hour.
Oh my gosh.
So I woke up in a box of airbags, and I was like, holy crap. I thought I was dead, and I couldn't believe I was alive. And I couldn't believe the car that we hit, like everyone survived. And so going back to what we were talking about, moving forward, like I had so much joy that I was alive.
Yeah.
And that someone didn't take my life, like, you know. And so I was just like, I have purpose. Like, I have meaning here on this, in like this day and time. Like, I got to keep going. And as crazy as it sounds, but like, I got really close to God in my faith, and really just hung on to that, because I had the coolest experience through this trauma, like the darkest valley. I had like insane dreams that like foreshadowed things that were going to happen, or like helped me kind of process like codependency and like how it has nothing to do with me. It was just all based off of his actions and that I had to move forward with them. And like, it was just a very powerful experience. And then I was just like, oh my gosh, I have to keep going. Like, and when I found out I was pregnant, I was two and a half months. And it was so crazy. I wasn't feeling well. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I swear I'm pregnant. And so I went into a Target and I got it.
And you took it at the Target?
I took it at the Target and it immediately said pregnant. And I was like, holy shit. So I went to like the grocery store and I took three more. And I was just like, my whole body just felt like overwhelmed, because it's like, it's one shock when you lose your ex-husband.
Yeah.
And you know, like, for real, like, they're not coming back. They're gone. He abandoned ship. Like, he ended up on the streets and just gone. But to find out that you have their child, yeah. And like, I am so, I always wanted to be a mother. I'd been married for 8 years, and I obviously see why God didn't give me a child then, and I'm so grateful for that. But I think there was like blessing and security and reassurance and like in all of the work that I put into that relationship, learning and growing and stretching and changing and all that stuff, like God still gave me a blessing that would carry on. You know, and have a piece, like the best parts of it, I guess. You know, it's like putting a bow on it in a really morbid way. But like, I had this like really insane, shocking moment of like, oh my gosh, like your life forever will change. You are now responsible for a human being, mm-hmm. and you will never have someone else, or you will never have your significant other being there to support him. Like, there's just nothing. I was just like, oh my gosh. And so my first initial thing is like, I'm keeping the baby. Like, I know a lot of people were like, well, you don't have to keep it. You can put it up for adoption. It's all this stuff. And I was just like, you know what? There's a reason why I'm pregnant now. You know, there's a reason, and there's a rebirth that's going to happen. And like, any athlete that gets injured, it's like immediately you want to get better. And so you do everything it takes to get healthy. And so I think that really helped give me like inner confidence and strength to be like, I want to be my best self. I've always wanted to be a mother. I want to be a great example. I want to show him that I can be an entrepreneur. I can be there for him. I can pave his way and show him the way that he should go. You know, like, and that required a healthy person. And so I literally had this like ammo, like pep talk in my car in the parking lot. And I was like, okay. So I called my sister and I told her. And so everything just started falling into place though. Like, I called a friend. She's like, I have a great doctor. She's not taking new clients, but maybe she has an opening. She literally had an opening the next day. And it was just like, so God ordained.
Everything was falling into place.
It was just like, okay. Like, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to ride this wave and I'm going to learn. And then there's like the sacrificial thing of just like letting go of my past and then making room for the change and being in your 30s, knowing you're pregnant. And, you know, I have my own salon in LA. I have an online academy. I have like a fragrance line as well for the brand. And so like, I have all these like entities and things that I'm managing while like, you know, dealing with pregnancy and change. And so I really took time and step back and just kind of reset. And there's just some times of solitude and really getting deep innerly like with myself and just being like real and like working through just trauma and working with like counselors and mentors and people that were in my corner. And it was like a really cool thing. And just trusting the process. I met, this is so crazy, but there's this woman that was a good friend of mine. She moved to Africa to like go do some like missionary work. And we were talking on the phone at like 9:30 at night, like almost all the time. She'd call and like and talk with me. And there was this this prophet that was there. And he knew nothing about my story at all. And he went up to my friend and said, I have a word for her. And he literally starts talking to me and telling me about my ex-husband. He knew his name. He knew what was going to happen, like what was moving, like happening moving forward. He like told me, he's like, you are going to enter into the most joyous, like time of your life. And you need to like let that go. And he was like, telling me about like my child, that he was going to be so anointed and like, but long story short, there was this beautiful thing of commitment that happened. So one, he had never seen seen face of me, and my friend knew everything that I had gone through, and she hadn't said anything to him. So it was just like the coolest thing to see that someone on the other side of the world knew something beautiful that was going to happen to my story. And it gave me so much hope and joy. And he called me and prayed with me almost every single night for like 7 months.
That's amazing.
Consistently. Wow. Across the world. And it just showed like when you show up for people.
You got to meet him. Have you met him?
No, don't even know what he looks like. But it was just like, it was so powerful and like, so like, it was just like the perfect, like kind of like token to be like, okay, I got to keep going. I got to. And like, yeah, so I went,
that's so powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
That is like, that had to have rocked your world, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm assuming like the first couple psychotic breaks, you didn't know what was going on.
No, because there was other stuff. Like, you know, I think he was struggling quite a bit mentally, not even on like that kind of level. I think the brain finally broke. Mm. But he ended up entering into the skateboarding world at a young age. He was like semi-pro. Okay. And so he dabbled with some drugs, and I think that affected like developing like his like brain and stuff at an early age. I don't know, or just like stuff that he dealt with that he just didn't bring to the table when we got married. And so again, there was like that underlying, there's like another layer to it that you're just like, oh my gosh, this person isn't the person that they said that they were.
And at what point was he diagnosed?
It was literally the first episode.
Oh
yeah, because okay. it was a very traumatic one. I mean,
we and went does on he a like speech. Remember like what he did?
I will never
when he
know.
Comes out of it, like, did you like ever ask him like, hey, do you remember what you...
We never really had conversation like that. It just kind of quickly happened, and like he knew something was wrong with him, but I don't think he wanted to admit it.
Yeah.
But also I think he was just running. I don't know. I wish I could ask him all these questions, and mm-hmm. I really I don't know if I wish anymore, but like at the time, I really was like hungry for answers. And I think it was just to solidify, you know, just the stuff that I was going through. And I'm like, okay, it's not my fault, right?
Yeah, right.
What can I do? How can I help? Like, can I fix you? Is my love efficient enough for you to like change? I ended up basically like having the best midwife ever. She became... I can literally text her today, anything and everything. Like, she's just like my girl. And it was so cool having her, because she really helped me process a healthy letting go. And like, a lot of people bring a child into the world with unhealthiness and think it's gonna fix the unhealthiness, mm-hmm. and that's not the answer. And so I had these really cool moments of God just showing me like, hey, here's Josh is my ex. Here's my ex. And he's not in his right mind. And so it kind of like let me just put that aside and take my heartstrings and like let that go, the idea of us being a unit, and then just push forward. So there was like a really cool moment where I actually was had a scheduled induction, and I kind of was like, oh, am I just kind of putting a timeline that I want on the baby. Yeah. So I kind of, I was like, I really hope it just happens natural. And so my induction was at 7 p.m. and my water broke at 4 a.m. that morning. But I didn't go into active labor until 11:11. And in that time period, my ex's grandmother found out that I was in labor. And my ex ended up hearing through her and ended up in the hospital. He, like, ran straight into the hospital, barged through my doors, was like, tweaking, like, hard. And my doctor and I had just gone over all, like, the protocol. They were like, if you need a word where you just want to be in the room, what's that word? And I was like, gummy bear. So, like, when he came in, I was like, gummy bear. Like, literally immediately, no. But it was just, like, it was so good for me to see because, like, for a second, I was like, how am I going to power through this? Like, childbirth is, like, tough. Insane. And I didn't have a support, like, I had the support, like, I had family, I had friends, I had community, but I didn't have
the support of spouse.
Yeah, and a significant other being there to, like, be your strength, and there were some really cool years that we had where he was that for me, and I thought I could maybe get that from him then, but... Yeah. Seeing the state that he was in, and the doctor came in and moved him to another room, and it was just like, you did not keep your word. Basically, he had to show 9 months of sobriety in order to be in the room, and clearly he was high on something. And so he, this is crazy, he put a meal on my tab and then left.
On your tab?
And that was just such closure for me, though, just to see the state and that... It just sealed my heart a little more and saying, like, you know, you got this, girl. Like, this is all up to you now. And it's not, and just like the letting go. And I really got to be present and connect with literally baby and me. I cared so much for him, and I cared so much for his well-being and for even his salvation on this side of earth that I... What really helped me release and let go of everything was just forgiving him and saying, you know what, like, you did things to me that I hope that you would never have wanted to do to me. And I think vice versa. I think, like, in the heat of moments of things, like, that, you know, you say things and you're like, and you retaliate and stuff. And so I just really... had forgiven him. And so when he walked in, I wasn't scared, like, for my life that something bad was going to happen. I had other nurses in the room, so it wasn't even like a physicality thing. And he wasn't even out to get me. Like, it wasn't like a retaliating, it definitely was a mental issue. Mm-hmm. And I think I was just a target at
You're
the time.
You're a victim of it.
Yeah. But when I saw him, the closure that happened, it was like, you know, when you gear up, like, this idea of what a perfect, like, experience would be, right? Mm-hmm. And the perfect experience would be, like, having your person with you, being your backbone, cheering you on, and doing the things that you couldn't do, right? And so I had hope for that, and I knew that maybe I wouldn't get it. But it was closure for me that I wasn't gonna get it, and that just, like, boosted me because it was like, okay, I'm not gonna like worry about that now. Like, that's something I have to push to the side.
So yeah. You mentioned you have gone through all of this while owning a salon.
Mm-hmm.
So your work as hair and makeup artist has been seen on countless shows and networks, Dancing with the Stars, Netflix, E! News, the list goes on.
Yeah.
So what inspired you to take this career route?
It kind of fell into my lap. My background is art. I was showing in galleries when I was 17 in Palm Springs. And so I had... I was introduced to a very mature art world at a young age, and I knew I wanted to be a creative. I had a big passion for like fashion. That sounds funny. It just rhymed. Just style and, you know, how I just loved that whole world. And so I had planned on going to fashion school and doing the sports route. And little did I know, like when I was in high school, I was actually fixing like my guy friends, like their hair. Their mom would butcher it and I'd just be like, can I fix that for you? Can we like blend this? Can we do this? And I was doing people's like, wow. I was waving their hair for events, for prom, like all that stuff. So I didn't think anything of it. But when I was in high school, my grandfather, he had saved up a bunch of money for all of his grandchildren to go to college. And so when I presented like all my acceptance letters and kind of decided which route I wanted to go, he had like said he was going to pay for my tuition. And so I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling good. This is great. Well, two cousins dropped the ball and they dropped out. And so he just cut off all the funds. And I was just like, wait, but I will cherish this forever. Like, please, like, yeah. Let me go. But that I'm so grateful that he did that now, because it just helped me find the best route. And that was a fallback plan. I was like, well, I'll go to beauty school. I'll have a trade that I can like rely on. It can help pay for my way. And it just keeps me in the fashion world. Yeah, and so it like rides neck and neck. And I'm really glad I went that route, because I didn't lose. I mean, I wasn't out of pocket with anything. I got a full ride. And I started working right away. So it was a no-brainer. But the first person that I assisted under, he actually sold us our house when I was 9. And I didn't even know. Oh, this is so trippy.
Invisible string.
Yes, 100%. So he ended up like just kind of letting me apprentice with him for like 6 months. And then I was on the floor. And he told me the best advice ever. He was like, find your niche, stick to it, and don't spread yourself thin. And I was like, okay, I'm doing hair. I just made up my mind then. I was like, I'm just gonna do hair. Even though I had all these like great, like, you know, like, what would you say, attributes? Like, I was a good artist. I was great, like, fashion. I could dabble in anything. Like, I was so creative, and I still am. Like, my mind goes a million miles per hour. But just honing in on a craft and just committing to it and giving it a try. And so I ended up falling in love with it. I fell in love with being around people all the time. I fell in love with people, like, coming to me and entrusting me with, like, what they wanted. I knew like, the training that I took and the people that I ended up assisting under gave me the confidence to know that I could fix anyone's hair. They could show me any picture, I could deliver first try. Like, it was art in its purest form, and like hair became like a canvas to me. And so, and it's walking everywhere. And
that's so cool.
And I understood like color theory, because, you know, it's chemistry. I understood the geometrics of it. Like, there's just so many different layers to hairdressing, and you become a therapist as well. And so, but yeah, I just honed in on that thing. And I was like, I think there will be seasons and times when all this will end up unraveling. And my main passion, like, goal when I was like eighth grade was, I want to create a space that is like multi-purposeful, and it's hair, fashion, makeup, lifestyle. And that like everything that I did as an artist and the artists that I helped bring up, our work would echo through its walls and like be more than just us doing hair. And so it just became my whole world, and yeah. I fell in love with it. I never not fall, like, I don't think I could ever hang up being a hairdresser.
She's not gonna hang up.
You can hang up the tools.
I can hang up the cleats. No. I don't know what I would do, because it's just so like, you're involved in, you're in so many people's lives, and like also you're learning and growing as a person constantly. Yeah. And there's just so much opportunity. I mean, I worked in on set. I worked in fashion weeks. I've done like magazine covers. I've just, it's endless. Like, and it's been so fun and it's kept me creative. And I don't know, the passion, like it was like a meditative outlet in even times of trauma. Like, because you just, it's so second nature to you that you're able to like rest and heal your mind, you know, and just be present. And like, yeah. it, people are like, how did you keep working through all that trauma? And I'm like, because it was therapy.
This, yeah, it that was like how you got through it.
You get to
yeah.
be vulnerable. You get to like actually sacrifice yourself for someone else's joy. Like, I have so many walks of life sit in my chair, and it is so beautiful to hear their story, but also like, they just open up to you and they're like, they're either suffering from cancer or similar scenario that I went through. Like, they dealt with a significant other or a sibling, or it's just like this really cool, like intimate space that happens, where you're learning and growing, you know, and you're like, oh, I got this. Like, this is great. Yeah. But I also like, I was so in love with it that I didn't even care what dollar sign I was getting. And I, even to this day, like, it still is that way for me, but it's just so cool to see how much I've, I would say, like, conquered over this time span, and, like, how much, I mean, it's so cool to see I made a living out of it, you know, and little did I know that a fallback plan would be, like, my main option, and now I'm at this place, too, that I'm able to grow and develop the hair, fashion, makeup lifestyle, like, as yeah. a whole. And it's cool just to see like what focusing on one avenue does to build that like really strong pillar that you can just now like branch out and see like, okay, what can I do now that will actually help better my life in this season? And yeah.
Since you started your career, you've gotten into the celebrity scene and you've worked with some really big names. How did you get into that part of the industry?
So I started in Palm Desert, right? And as I like moved out of the desert, I started working at a pretty prestigious salon in San Diego, and I trained with a couple great people. And I mean, that was like the first time I had ever worked in any kind of celebrity event. I was hired for like the True Blood Playboy event, and I like styled all the girls from, you know, True Blood and all that
That's
stuff. And
so
it was,
cool.
It was sweet. Like, I had a moment with like Chad Michael Murray. Like, it was like cool. Really cool. But if you know me in the heart of hearts, like I've just never been like celebrity, like,
obsessed.
No, I've never, I know that's so crazy. I've never like idolized or like, mm-hmm. I just, yeah. Here's what it is for me. It's simple. It's like anybody can put their hands to hard work and create great success and become well known for it in any field whatsoever. And yeah. So it was more like they've worked hard or they were right place, right time and given much to which they succeeded. And so, yeah, like those were cool accomplishments. And I started like, I did a few like magazine covers then as well. And I just remember thinking like, I can't wait to show my kids. That was all I cared about.
Yeah, that's so
I was
cute.
Like, I hope that they're proud of me. So when I met my ex-husband and we got married and we moved to LA, I'm not kidding you. I started completely over and I went straight into the assisting realm again. So like I laid down everything and I just said, I got to get into the doors. And so I started assisting under Johnny Ramirez, big celebrity colorist. And we worked like mad dogs. I'm not kidding you. We traveled New York, Miami, LA, and it was like 30 plus clients a day. It was brutal. But it just like, it built a ton of character. And I remember I got to work under his name on these certain celebrities. And it was just really eye-opening and like pivotal for me just to be like, oh my gosh, there's rose-colored glasses, you know? Like yeah. There's this world of what we think is not tangible. And then there's just normal people. And I'm like, you're a normal person that needs their hair done. And and then there's sometimes I would meet somebody who plays a certain role that's like very inspiring. And you're like, oh, you're so not that character in person. And it is kind of disheartening. But yeah, I got to dabble and work with that, that celebrity world with him. And then I ended up going kind of a different route. I didn't like go straight into like celebrities. I was like, I need to build my books. And so when I went on the floor, I assisted Kristen S. I got to help her with her
her shampoo. I've used it before.
Yeah, I mean, she had just been starting, and it was just like this really cool moment to see someone shift from doing celebrity styling, coloring, to now making her own line with Target. Like, it was so cool.
Yeah.
And I was helping her run like the beauty department. It was this cool blog that everyone was like fangirling about, you know. It was like Lauren Conrad and Lucy Hale, and
yeah,
so it was just really cool. And it that was not a long time until I got my chair, and I actually was like, I need clients. So I started with the USC girls, the sorority house.
Oh, and my gosh.
I'm not kidding you. I fixed everyone's hair, and they had like a board that said like blonde specialist. My name was on the board. So like anybody would like type in, I need my hair done. I need it fixed. And I was like, well, what I was thinking is like, first of all, the caliber that I was at, like either they can afford it or mom and dad will pay for it, but they're going to they're going to internships. And so whoever they see, like if they're working with like Rachel Zoe or like someone of that higher caliber, they're going to see their hair and they're going to ask who did it. And so I was like, I was so confident in my work walking around. I'm like, it'll happen organically. So I tripled my books in 6 months.
That's amazing.
And it was so cool because my Johnny would sit in the back room and he's like, how did you do this? Like, cause I took things that I learned from him and things that I had already had on my tool belt. And I was just like, I'm just going to simplify it. I was like, the average client needs to come in. They need to have a good experience. It needs to be 3 hours, 4 hours max. They need to be in and out, and it's got to look flawless. Like,
yeah.
And so I just kind of created this like cool, like code to executing that and giving the client a great experience. And it grew. One of the first celebrity clients that really kind of got me excited was Candice Bray, because I remember watching her DJ Tanner as a little girl. Never in my wildest like mind would I like.
That's so cool.
Because I'm so much younger than her, you know. I'm just like, I never thought I would be doing her hair, you know. And so there's this like really cool relationship that happened there, and then it just started spreading like wildfire. And I actually haven't posted like a ton of my work in that world. And it was never out of, I think I'm proud of my work. I think it's an accomplishment for sure. But I really wanted my work field like to remain tangible to like every walk of life.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's the girl at USC that's saving for the whole entire year to come see me, she's just as equal as the celebrity sitting in my chair. And it's like this luxury experience that everyone gets to take and be a part of. And so I think people get excited when they hear like celebrity, you know, and they're like, oh, I want to go because it's just like a trend or whatever. And so I really didn't want clout to come from that. And it's still something that, I mean, people can agree and disagree with, but just to protect that, even that person, like, you ever think about the celebrity and you're like, oh, what if they don't want their hair put on blast? Like, what if they don't want to be known in that world for that? I don't know. So it's just like, I didn't really share a lot of my great successes, and it was more like inner accomplishments of like, I made it. Like,
yeah.
Okay, cool. Like, this is where I've always wanted to be. And it was like being recognized for just like really good work and seeing it on TV or in a movie or
so cool.
on a magazine. And you're like, oh my gosh, I got to do that. And I'm happy with it. And it's beautiful. And it made that person look even better. Like, so, if that answers your question.
Yeah. That's so special.
Yeah.
I love that too, that you keep in mind like every walk of life for clients as well. Like, that's so thoughtful of you. Just a testament of your character.
Thanks. I think it's, this is the thing. We all start from the womb and then we, you know, we become great at whatever we want to become great at. And I still care about, you know, the people that are living on the streets. You know, it kills my heart knowing that my ex-husband now is in that community. And, you know, you just don't know, like, people's walk of life, they crumble. And, like, I have a nonprofit that we got to help build a salon down in Skid Row. And we would go in and do, like, haircuts and, like, style women coming off of, like, these programs to go into the work field. And we would, like, get them ready for, like, that's their amazing resume photo and stuff. And I remember this woman, like, I was doing her hair, and she goes, oh my gosh, you're using the good product on me. It was like Orbea or something like that. And it was like, she recognized, like, she wasn't just getting like the shitty stuff. She was getting like the real deal. And like, that's what I want for everyone. And I think a lot of people, like, when they look at, you know, like an Instagram or like they see the caliber of where you're at, like, they kind of judge. You're like, I could never afford your prices. I could never do this. I could never. And like, you know, I always have, it's all about the consultation. You know what?
Yeah.
It could be the girl that's like, I'm actually going to consult with you and I'm going to save. And then I feel in my heart like, no, let's go. Like, I'll hook you up. Like, let's do this. Like, yeah. So, I just wanted to always be tangible and normal. And, you know, like, just, I've been blessed with this talent, but it also can go away at any time, you know, and it doesn't, it's not all that identifies who I am. Yeah. I'm good at it, and I'm...
It's not your defining characteristic.
Correct, but a lot of me is in it because I care, and I care about people's hair. I care how they look. I care how they feel afterwards. Like, if someone's not happy, like, I know there's those stylists that are like, it is what it is. Like, leave it at, you know, like,
yeah. You're like, no, I'm going to fix but it for I you. Actually, like, what like, do you want?
If someone's like, oh, I need this. It's bothering me. I will sleep on it and they will bug me until it's fixed. Like, I really care. I'm very sensitive in that. And, because I also know that, like, it's a lot, like, a lot of hard work to come in and pay, you know, top dollar for your hair. And if you're not satisfied, like, I mean, come on, let's fix it. Yeah. So,
yeah,
I have a really big heart for that.
So you're a business owner and you own a salon in LA and you fly out there often, mm-hmm. balancing a career as a makeup artist and hair artist. And you do makeup as well, correct?
Yeah,
hair and makeup. Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. And being a mom and having a relationship. How do you have a work-life balance? Because you travel so much.
Yeah. Well, I would say I travel like a mad dog before I had Luca. I grinded really hard just to kind of catch up and know that I needed a little cushion for just having some time and space with him. Ideally, in motherhood, I wanted to be like just super present and take a maternity leave and mm-hmm. not be quick to go back to work. But I just knew, you know, I had to figure out a good balance. So luckily, I took a healthy maternity. It took a few months. And then I just started bringing him with me. I was like, well, he's a baby. I got to do this. I have a demand. I'm going to just try it. I'm going to put him in and we'll see how he does. And if it doesn't work, then we'll change and we'll adapt. And so he was just a go lucky kid. And he would, I'm not kidding you, 2 months in, he's strapped to me. I'm working a wedding in Chicago, aww. Hair and makeup, probably like 14 people I'm getting ready, and didn't skip a beat. Like, it was just, he was just like an attachment to me, and the bride was so, so stoked, and I was just like, okay, we can do this. Like, and I would bring him into the salon. He'd sleep in a stroller, and I'd just check on him, and I'd feed him, and he just was raised in a very, like, like loud environment too, so he could sleep anywhere. And I just was like, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. And it wasn't that I was eager just to get back into work either. I wanted to provide, and I didn't want to let go of everything that I had worked hard for. I did say no to a lot of things, and I did cut back just for like mental health, but I was still pretty gung-ho about just giving it a try and seeing how it would work. And so when Luca was 2 months after the Chicago wedding, I came over to Nashville. I had done a wedding in Nashville the year before. I was like 4 months pregnant. And I had like a taste of Nashville. I was like, oh, this is a cool spot. And my sister was planning on moving, and so she had done the move. And so I went out to visit her and let her meet Luca. And I immediately was like, oh, this is it. This is where I need to be. So I found a place that wasn't even fully built yet. And I put a deposit on it. And I was like, okay, when it's ready, we'll move. And so I decided to move. I didn't tell my LA clients that I moved out of LA. I just kept it quiet for 8 months. And I went out to LA 1 week out of each month. And just worked and did everything that I could and started building in Nashville. And so the beautiful thing of what I had already made, it was bi-coastal anyways. I worked New York Fashion Weeks. I worked Copenhagen. Like, it was just wherever I was, it could be a destination. Right. So we were like, okay, this is going to work. So I would say it was more month-to-month, sporadic, not my type A personality that wants to know, like, the year plan, you know. And that was really hard, but it was really cool to be present and also trust the process of growth and being malleable in that. And so just being able to watch the salon sustain itself while I was gone. Everyone is booth rental, and so they micromanage their own books. It's a really seamless system. I have an amazing like cleaning lady, and then I have a few like assistants that come and help when I'm there, and then they kind of like oversee a few things if I need it. So it really was cool to see it self-sustain itself. And I would say like it wasn't up to par like pristine wise like how I wanted it to be, but it was easy. It taught me how to like grow and like communicate better with people that were using a communal space. Yeah. And so it was like, let's do our part, let's be, you know, team players. This is what you're in charge of if you're renting from me. And so it just really actually helped me create a stronger backbone as an owner as well, allowing people into the space. So I was doing week on, week off, a week on each month. And then I was building out here, and I was only working one day out of the week being here while I had Lucas still so young. And then I've slowly started like adding more days to Nashville. And now I've cut back quite a bit. I only go 3 days to LA out of the month right now.
Wow.
And I grind. I see like 15 to 20 clients a day.
How do you fit that in?
It's nuts. I'm triple booked all day.
Like, okay.
It's just nuts.
Gotcha.
But it's really fulfilling.
Are you doing like extensions during
everything?
This?
Cut, color, extension,
so
styling.
I'm just like, how? Because like that takes like a pretty long time.
Yes, but there's been years of practice, and so there's a lot of efficiency. Like, I highlight a head in like 35 minutes. Like, it's just there. It's repetitive. You get better and better. It's like a Karate Kid, you know, wax on, wax off thing.
Yeah.
Just like, that's okay, amazing. I can do this in my sleep.
Where are you working here?
So I work out of a salon in Nashville right now, Edge Hill area. It's called Volume 2. So I'm just taking clients right now. And
do you rent a booth there?
Yeah. Okay. So super cool. I met Carly on the Good American campaign. Like years ago.
Oh, great. Awesome.
And we kind of like just, it was a quick introduction. And then she rented from me in my salon. And she like did an academy and filmed it in my salon. And then she later moved to Nashville. And so when I came out here, that's who I knew. And I was like, hey, can I rent a chair from you? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, great. I have clients. I got to take them. Like, so
that's amazing.
That's what I meant. Like East Coast, West Coast, like, just being bi-coastal and like where there's clients that are looking for you, like at this point. So you're like, yeah, okay, cool. I just need a place to call home for a while. So
on a more light topic, tell us about Nick.
Oh my gosh, Nick.
Say who Nick is, what he does, how you love Nick. Yes, Nick is the best.
He's literally the best human on planet Earth.
How long have y'all been dating?
Gosh, it's like 9 months.
Okay. It's crazy because so we fun started and new. I love seeing it. Jack and Nick around the same time.
Oh, really?
Like, didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So, cool story. I was at a girlfriend's house, a little dinner, and she's like, oh, there's a great guy out here. And I was like, really? Do tell, because I give up. I had gone on a few dates. I waited.
Dating's rough in Nashville.
Listen, I waited for a while, and then my sister and my mom were like, are you ready? So I had gone on a dating app as a funny joke for my friends.
What dating app?
I was on Raya. And
I've heard not a lot of people have had luck on Raya.
Yeah, no, I mean, I literally matched with the guy that I had dated.
Oh, no.
The first one, and I was like, hey,
fancy seeing you here.
Yeah, cool.
That's funny.
No, I just thought it was totally something that was not my style. I'm pretty organic, pretty loyal person. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm going to give someone attention and time to dating, I'd hope it's reciprocated. And yeah. I just felt like scrolling was kind of superficial.
Yeah.
Like, you're hot. You're not hot.
Like, no, that's what? Literally yeah. exactly. What? That's literally exactly what it is. So
what? How shallow am I? No, I literally felt, I was like, I ran out of options. Like, no. So it became more like a game. For my girlfriends too, who are all married, and like, yeah. You know, they're like, oh, this is fun. I'm like, really? No, it's really not.
Oh, like they would sit there and scroll with you?
No, exactly.
No,
like, literally, I had a friend doing that, and I was like, any options?
No, my friend, she had a Galentine's this year, and they literally screen shared it up on her TV with all of her friends that were coupled up, and she was the only single one, and she was just scrolling through, and they were like, oh my god, this is so much fun. She's like, oh really? That's You're good like, for you.
Oh gosh. Yeah, so I've gone on a couple like sour dates, and it really like opened my eyes to even, I was kind of like, okay, I don't need to be dating this season. I'll be mm-hmm. present with Luca. I'll focus on my work. Hopefully, I'm sure, like, if God got me this far.
Like, he got
there's
me,
got,
yeah.
There's got to be someone. And so, yeah, my friend Amelia, she was like, yeah, there's a great guy out here. And she pulled up his Instagram, and it was Nick. And I was like, dang, he's cute. Like, so I followed him, didn't think anything of it. And he followed me back, like, I don't know if it was like right away or like a few days or weeks later. But I had done this like story, like I did those questions on Instagram, and someone had asked a little bit more of my personal life, and I kind of just put a bow on it and kind of shared a little bit, because they're like, Josh, your ex, he's not in the picture. Where did he go? And you have a baby, and tell us more. And I was like, oh, you want the tea? I was like, No, I gave him a little taste of it, and I'm pretty sure he saw that and just like slipped into my DMs. It was like the cherry on top. So he slipped in, and I don't know if he wants me to share this, but he hit me with a howdy, and I said, howdy, partner. And aww, it started a really cool conversation about how we got to Nashville, where he was from. It was just like this really cool, organic, not a booty call, you know, kind of conversation. And he goes, well, can I take you on a date? Like, and so he had arranged a date, and it happened to be Barcelona. And it was like right next to my spot.
Good job, Nick.
Well, what's really funny too about this is, so the week before it actually happened, a girlfriend of mine, we went to Barcelona, and we're sitting at the bar, and we're like, this would be a great date spot.
Oh my gosh.
It's like tapas style. You're like, you're just, it's good. It's not awkward. It's like a good environment. You can order a bunch of different things. You can chat. You can have cocktail. Like, it's just a fun. I'm like, this would be ideal.
Yes.
And so the fact that he had picked it was like, he didn't know anything about me yet.
Invisible string.
He didn't know where I worked, like what I did, you know, like, I mean, vaguely. And so he was like, can I, he's such a gentleman. Like his manners are so incredible.
Is he from the South?
No, he's from like Irvine. So he's a Cali boy, which is super awesome because I've always wanted a Cali boy.
That's amazing.
I was like, God, can I have like a Newport boy?
That's
like,
perfect.
So I'm like me. So anyways, so we went to Barcelona. We had a great conversation. And there was just such an ease around him. There's like a peace.
So important.
And I just was intrigued. And I didn't feel like, I don't know, it was finally nice to be at the like same caliber of conversation and just like not also feel bad for being a successful woman. Like, he was so, like, enamored by it. And most guys would be,
instead
like,
of, like
most guys would be intimidated. Yeah, they would be intimidated or scared and, like, and are, like, ick.
Condescending, but like, yeah.
You know, I was just doing me, and he was attracted to that. There were so many parts of Nick that actually healed parts of my heart that I was like, even if I'm dating him for a season or maybe a lifetime, because I do see like so many great qualities in him that I would put into a future person, that it was healing me to trust and love someone again. And it was like, and it was, it's been so sweet, and it's been so like tastefully timed out.
Yeah.
In a sense, like it's not rushed, and that's what I loved about it, because everything was so rushed, and now like we have these like cool moments where I'm like, oh, remember that date, or remember this time, or this, and it's just like really sweet. And also it's like, it's just so comforting. He's consistent, he shows up, like, and you know, Luca's a whole nother dynamic. He is a kid growing and needs discipline and structure, and so Nick has been such a good backbone in helping be even an awesome man around Luca, and like helping lead and disciplining. And there's been rough nights where Luca's like crying and doesn't want to eat, and he's like, he's not the guy that's just like gonna walk out the door. He's like, I'm in this with you, I'm gonna ride the wave, like let's go,
that's
let's
amazing.
Do this, like, let's
and not be. A lot of people would do like take on that,
no,
which is amazing,
which was so, it's so like, I'm so in awe of it, and I'm so grateful. And I want him
to know how grateful I am, because
it's such a rarity. It's a rare person. Like, it's rare to find a person that's just going to be in your corner and be consistent. And dating nowadays, it's very like inconsistent. You know, there's a guy interested in a girl, and there's a game, or vice versa, a girl interested in a guy, and this game goes on and on and on. And there's just like these like blurred lines of communication, and you're just kind of like in like la la land, and you go crazy, and you're like,
it's like, what am I doing?
Well, and it's just like, it shouldn't be like that. It should be, Nick has always been black and white. He's straightforward. He's like, you make me happy, I love you, I'm here for you, let's do this, let's ride this wave. Am I ready for marriage? Not yet, but like, you know, it's just like good communication. And I think
him and Jack are the same person.
Healthy communication is the best thing. A lot of people are like, oh, you share too much. You share. If you can't communicate with someone off the get-go,
you don't have it.
You're screwed. And if it's just intimacy that you're looking for, like, then you're not ready for that. Like, Nick and I, he was just very, like, steady with everything. And he was eager to get to know who I am and not get into my pants. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not a bash on anyone, like, that. There's a season for everything in that regard. You know, people want to mess around, or people actually want to get serious and settle down with someone. And a lot of guys and girls aren't ready to settle down, or this culture has changed a lot. And it's been like, oh no, I'm going to ride this wave with this person, and then I'm bored, and I'll go to the next person. And it's just like, there isn't that like loyalty and just like that trying. But like, with Nick and I, everything was flowing. We were two buds that just needed each other at the time. I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Yeah, this was such like an amazing conversation. So eye-opening, and like your outlook on life is like seriously so inspiring. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You killed it. I adore you. I'm so glad you're in my circle. Seriously.
Aw, thank you.
All right, guys. Well, see you next week. Bye.
Bye, guys.